night Jill says he's happy. He must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
Broadcasting from the most racist state in the union, Arizona. It's another episode.
Is it really the most racist state?
Oh, yeah. You don't know that?
I think Alabama or something.
Dude, they didn't even want to have a Martin Luther King Day here. Now they got everybody in the United States hates Arizona because of the special immigration law that actually harkens back to early
Nazi
Germany,
right.
Where now you can walk around and say to people who even look ethnic, can I see your papers?
Right, and they could send them back.
Yeah, send them back. There's been a mass exodus from Arizona, especially the area called Mesa, which has a very, very high Mexican population. A lot of the Mexicans are going getting out of town, but they're not going back to Mexico. They're just going to other neighboring states where they don't have this type of law in effect. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a hard argument to make on either side. You know, do you let people in illegally? Do you let them stay once you know they're here? Blah blah blah. But I mean, it's clearly a racist state. There's no doubt about it. They didn't even want to have a Martin Luther King Day. They voted it down.
Wow.
I know.
Pretty crazy, man.
I got to get out of here.
Anyway. So, do we have our friend PJ Braun on the show?
Of course we do. One of my other favorite human beings, PJ Braun. How you doing, PJ?
What's up, guys? Shalom, Aaron. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom,
you're supposed to say Vutzmachta.
I don't even know what that means.
It's Yiddish. What's happening?
Oh, I didn't know that. Listen to Carl teaching me Yiddish.
Teaching you some Yiddish. Wow.
Vutzmachta.
Wow. You're such a mensch, Carl.
He is a mensch.
I know.
Totally a mensch. So what we're doing here, Carl, is I originally scheduled. This has been a strange week, Carl, because I got home from Connecticut on Monday, and I got Monday night, and I had kind of arranged some guests to come on the show, and then it fell, you know, as it happens every once in a while, it kind of fell through,
right?
And I kind of had to rearrange things And I told PJ I needed him. And of course, whenever I need PJ Braun, he's right there to step up.
Yeah, I know.
And, just like a good mensch.
Yes. Like Jordan in the fourth quarter.
So it turns out, one of our guests, Isaac Hines, turned up, coming back on after all. So I thought I still want PJ on.
Right.
So we're including PJ in the banter portion this week.
Cool. Yeah, I know.
If he doesn't do a good job, he'll never be back.
That's disrespectful. Like you ask him and he bails you out. And then at the last minute, you go, you know what? My first choice actually decided to come on, so I'm going to bump you now. Doesn't that happen like at school dances when you're in high school and shit? Right?
That is. So, he'll get a guilt trip when I see him. So
yeah.
I get a guilt trip anyway. I ask him to do it, and he says, oh, I guess I'll have to cancel my plans now.
Yes. I have very, very important plans.
PJ,
and then
PJ
I asked
is
him, I said,
buried.
Were you really planning on doing that? And he's like, no, not really.
I mean, PJ is really an amazingly busy guy. He did Supreme Radio recently, and it was an amazing episode.
Thank you.
No, it really was. It was.
I listened to the episode of Supreme Radio with him on it. He was good.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
PJ
was
an
shocked.
Amazing guest because you don't have to he's on time. He knows how to move fast. He pays attention to the segments and he knows how to stretch a story when he needs to. He's the ideal guest. He really is.
Thank you. Aaron, why did you just say you were surprised?
Just to get that reaction. I was waiting to hear you say something. I wasn't surprised at all, actually,
okay,
to be honest.
That's better.
And I actually learned something. I learned how to, if I were to have an injured shoulder, I learned how to build a big chest.
There you go.
There you go. We should send this over to Palumbo because he has two injured shoulders. Maybe I can help him out a little bit.
I'll never forget.
You can't teach me anything, PJ. You look up to me, PJ.
I'll never forget the first time I met Dave in person at the Arnold, and he gave me that fucking that handshake where he raises his shoulder and his elbow up.
Yes.
And I didn't know he had bad shoulders. I actually thought maybe he was a little light in the loafers. I was like, wow, that's a nice handshake, you know?
Carl asked me. You asked me right after.
I remember that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't you actually ask him, Carl? Didn't you say, why didn't you shake like that?
No, well, then later on, another time I met him and I said, you know, he said, oh, I got really bad shoulders. I go, oh, okay.
Because you asked him, you said, why do you shake hands like that?
Yeah.
You're very blunt, Carl. Very
that's
blunt.
All right. The only way to be, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Got no time to waste, man.
Exactly.
It's like when you ask the dancers on stage at the ALRI booth if they were all strippers.
Yeah.
That was good too.
And you know that some of them were, but they were like trying to take the high road.
And I told him, I said, Carl, they will be offended. And he said, why? They're dancers. They're on the stage. What's the difference?
Fuck them.
And they were pissed at you, weren't they?
They're fucking women. Fuck them.
What do they think? they're almost naked on stage, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, what's the difference? You're like, oh, no, I'm not a stripper. I'm a professional dancer. Right. The difference between you and a stripper is that tiny little thing that's covering your pussy. Yeah. That's about it.
So this weekend, I actually got to see PJ Braun at the Connecticut Europa show. They actually call it this show for this particular Europa show. It's called the Battle of Champions, and I've actually been calling it something else the whole time. I just found out it's actually the Battle of Champions.
And what were you calling it?
I think I was saying the Europa Show of Champions.
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's another one that's called the Show of Champions.
Right.
So I've been mixing it all up.
So hard. It's so hard to keep these unique names separated. Right? The Night of Champions, the Battle of Champions, the Show of Champions.
The Battle of Champions.
Yeah.
Yes. I think this is the best one, though. The Battle of Champions.
I think if you call the show that, then I think the bodybuilders as part of
should
have to fight. Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Fucking cage. Oh my God, right? Wouldn't that be great?
With smoke and fire and stuff. Yeah. They should make it like old Roman times. You should have like a tiger that comes out.
Yeah, and one
maybe some of the bodybuilders, if they said, listen, you know, it's the prize for the show is the first prize is $10,000, but if you're willing to fight, the prize is $25,000.
Dude, and like you said, Roman times, like one guy gets chainmail, the other guy gets a mace, one guy gets a spear and a trident and shit. Oh, that would be so fucking awesome.
It would be so. I guarantee
you. Bodybuilding would actually be popular.
Popular. It would go mainstream over fucking night.
Yeah, it would be like Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome. PJ, what would you use? Would you be the mace or the trident or what? Sword?
No, I would like that little ball with the spikes that hangs on the chain.
That's the mace, yeah.
That's the mace. Okay.
That's the mace. That's what I would want.
I think chainmail is the best. I think that big sheet of chainmail, because you can protect yourself with it, you can hit people with it, and then when they swing at you, you just have to cover yourself in it, and it absorbs everything.
Yeah.
Could you think it would be illegal to have like a bow and arrow? Because that's what I'd want.
Nah.
That would be the Jewish tactic. Just sit in the back and kick everybody off.
Fuckers.
Standing up in the corner.
Yep, you don't even have to get involved.
Yeah, right. That's fucking hilarious.
It's true. It's true. I want to keep my distance. So, PJ, what did you think of the show, man? Did you have a good time? I know PJ only got to see prejudging. He had to go do some other bullshit the next day.
Yes, bullshit. I had to guest pose at the Empire State the next
day. And I saw the snapshots, dude. And you're like how far out right now?
That day I was 12 weeks out.
Dude, man, you fucking stay ripped, man.
Carl, that was against – he was posing down with two IFBB pros.
I know, and he was bigger than both of them. I know. I mean, it was insane. Your traps and your shoulders were so much thicker and vascular than theirs. And you know what? You're kind of like right in that Palumbo range. Like he always stayed really very, very lean.
Yeah, you're very Palumbo-esque.
No, I didn't say that. I just said that he was like Palumbo in that way.
I know. It's a compliment. It's a compliment.
I'm like the son he never had.
There you go.
It's a compliment, Carl.
You're like the son he left in a sock once in a hotel.
Exactly.
You're like the son he never had. That's good, BJ.
It took me 3 hours to get to Hartford, and it should only take me 1 hour. It was actually horrible. I got up early Friday to get everything done. I canceled all my appointments for work that day, and I left my house at 12:40, thinking I would be there by 2 o'clock for the amateur show, no problem. And it's a straight shot up Interstate 84. And on exit 16, I came to a dead stop. And time was going by. Nothing was happening. All these people were walking around out of their cars. It turns out there was some kind of hazardous waste spill on the highway on exit 17. One exit ahead of me. Oh. And they shut the highway down. So I sat there for an hour. And I didn't know what to do. And then eventually I noticed that a bunch of SUVs were driving over the grass median. And I said, can my Acura do this? Can I make it over this median? So I debated it for like a half an hour. And I finally was like, screw it, I'm going to try. And I drove down the median for a while until I saw a spot that was pretty flat. And I crossed over it. And I was okay. And I my navigation rerouted me. It wound up taking me 3 hours to get there. But I made it in time. I couldn't believe it. Somehow the show was started a little late. And everything wound up working out in the end.
Yeah, you really look good. I looked at those pictures. It was very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Well, that was the next day.
Right. No, I know. But I'm just saying I was very impressed with the pictures of you.
Thank you. I appreciate
your
it.
Guest posing.
It
was really
I was
good.
Hoping to guest pose with Aaron, but he was nowhere to be found.
Come on. Come on. Aaron, what are you, 225 pounds right now? Uh-oh. Did we lose Aaron, or is he just being sheepishly quiet because he doesn't want to admit how much
his body weight, which I believe is actually, I think, 218 pounds right now.
Oh, man. I hope that's not the case. Is it really?
He's gotten down there. Actually, it may be a little more than that, but I will say that when he started his diet and he thought that he was going to be 235 on stage, I told him that he would be 215 to 218 on stage.
So you were closer. Is that true, Aaron? Are you closer to 218 right now instead of 224?
I'm closer to 218 right this minute. So PJ will be pretty close to accurate. I would say I'll probably be around 215. Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
What now? I have a picture on my phone that you just sent me from the back. You really look good. I have to say your proportions are really good. Your waist is so small. Your back is very, very wide. Your shoulders are wide. But your ass looks like an upside down triangle. Were you clenching your cheeks for a reason?
Yes, of course. I'm trying to show the lines in the glutes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were clenching them because you were afraid that an invisible man was in the bathroom
that
was going to try to penetrate you.
Carl.
Oh, okay.
I'm not leaving them loose and like hanging. That's the right, PJ?
There's a lot of glute clenching going on in our world.
Yeah, you got in Italian we call that stringing.
Yeah, well,
like
when you got to go to the bathroom
really bad and you're far from the restroom, you stringe, you keep your cheeks close together.
Yeah, he was definitely
Carl,
doing some stringing in that picture.
What, Aaron?
In any other industry or any other sport, it would be gay for me to send you a naked picture of
yes.
myself from the back.
Yes.
But in our sport, this is considered normal.
I know. And actually, it's normal up to the moment that I started to jerk off, actually.
That's actually still normal. PJ did that earlier to the
people. Yes. Mine was actually sent with a note. You can jerk off to this, but please don't show anyone else.
That's true.
Aaron,
send that note.
I was thinking about something because you've actually been on the East Coast for what, like 2.5 weeks altogether?
No, I was in the East Coast for, I got home on day number 13 or day number 12.
Okay. So almost 2 weeks. How did you stick to your diet? I mean, were you preparing food in hotels and at people's
homes? Can I answer this question or no?
Yeah.
No, well, you can answer. You go ahead and say that you're the answer that you know. And then I have the real answer. Go ahead.
Okay. How does he stay on a diet? Well, I'll tell you, he stays on his diet because his diet involves eating out 90% of the meals.
Not anymore. So, he stopped
yes,
doing
it
that.
Still does. He
really?
Still he picks what he finds is the healthy portion of the menu. Most menus now have their little healthy section, and that's where he orders his food.
Which ironically also coincides with the senior citizen menu.
Yes.
Which is like usually like poached eggs and stewed apples and stuff like that.
Yes. It's not right. a problem
so
at all for him.
For part of the trip, PJ is correct. In Tampa, when I got to Tampa, I didn't have my food with me, and I made do with what we could get. And me and Mike Liberatore went to the grocery store, and he had a little George Foreman he bought there. So I cooked and made a majority of my food. The times it was inconvenient to do that, I went to the restaurant or whatever. And, like, for example, what I get, Carl, is there they had hamburgers. And I have hamburgers everywhere. And I would get two hamburger patties and either have half of a bun, depending on the meal time, or no bun, lettuce, tomatoes, and mustard. And then I have a salad with oil and vinegar or something with no croutons, no cheese, no bacon. Or I make do with whatever I could.
And a lot of places you can get a plain chicken breast, too.
Sure, of course. You can get a plain chicken breast anywhere almost. And so, like, for breakfast we had – and I was able to get egg whites. You know, I just got egg whites and oatmeal and just put nothing in the oatmeal.
So why is that – why? What's wrong with that, PJ?
Well, I have to say, PJ can comment in 1 second, but I do need to give credit to Jose Raymond and his girlfriend Tony and their friend Litsa, who, while I was at his house in Woburn, Massachusetts, the food was all cooked by Lisa. And so, you know, I actually did have, like, legit diet food to eat there, other than PJ doesn't approve of my cottage cheese and pineapples, but I did eat a copious amounts of cottage cheese.
Is it the pineapples? Is it the pineapples you don't agree with, or the cottage cheese?
It's both.
Really?
I don't feel he should be eating dairy at this point, and he doesn't need all the fructose either, I don't feel, in my opinion. But, I mean, he was eating it for many of his meals.
You know, I mean, I know that everybody says that everybody's body is different, but you can't argue too hard with a guy like PJ who fucking stays so ripped all the time. What do you think about that, Aaron?
No, I can still argue with PJ.
No, he'll argue it, of course. You know what he did, Carl?
That does not impress me.
Carl, tell me this wouldn't make you irritated. Picture you're in my shoes. You're dieting for a show. Right now, Aaron is dieting for a show too. I understand that, but I'm dieting for the national championship. This is for all the marbles.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Now,
I'm dieting for my own personal Mr. Olympia. Yes, PJ.
The Aaron Singerman Classic is not as big as the NPC National.
All right.
Okay. So, Aaron looks at my cooler and he's like, "Oh, do you have any extra food?" And I say, "Well, I brought my meals for myself for the day. Why would I have extra food?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm so hungry," holding his stomach, making these pains on his face.
He was. Like a little kid.
Yes. I'm like, "Dude, all I have is my own meals." He's like, "You don't have anything extra?" I was like, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you my last meal, my steak meal." I'm like, "It's just plain steak." I'm like, "And hopefully I'll be home, at a reasonable time. It won't be a big deal." And right. He was like, "Oh, really? Thanks." So I go, "It's just plain London broil. It's cold. It's not going to be great."
You didn't say London broil. You said steak.
It's London broil. I did say it was London broil when I gave it to you.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't filet mignon, right?
Right, it definitely was not.
I knew I was going to be eating it cold, so what do I care? So I give him the food. He's like, "Oh, do you have some mustard?" I give him some mustard. Now, he eats a couple pieces, right? And he's like, "Oh, it's dry and chewy." I said, "It's London broil, dude. It's the way it is, just eat it. You're starving. It shouldn't be that big of a deal." He eats I would say a third to the max a half of it.
And 6 ounces. I probably ate 6 ounces.
And he says, "I don't want it anymore. I don't like it. It's no good." I'm like, "Dude, are you kidding me? You finish that fucking food right now."
And this is like a kid and their parent fucking having an argument.
Yes. And he's like, "I don't want it." I go, "You just took my food that I would have ate, so you better fucking finish it right in front of me." And he's like, "No, I don't want it. It's dry." And so I went to throw it away. And he's like, "Why are you throwing away?" I'm like, "Well, it's no good to me now. This is half of what I was supposed to eat."
Right.
I'm like, "I'm not going to eat it." Especially
Why
since you're
you
dirty.
Eat? I still don't get that. Why not keep the 6 ounces and eat that later?
Because your dirty Jewish fingers were in there. I don't know where those fingers were.
Oh, that's what it probably was.
God, I knew that was coming.
So I went to throw it away, and he goes, no, don't throw it away. Save it for me. I might want it later. Which I knew he wasn't going to want it later.
Of steak? It's stupid.
Yeah.
It was a waste.
You wasted my food, is what it was.
Carl, this stuff was so chewy. One bite of this steak required 30, 40 chews. And,
yeah, but that's why PJ, that's part of his workout, too. His jawline
that's
is so
funny. Awesome. Exactly.
I knew that I was going to be on the road. And, typically I eat good steak when I'm home.
I bought a London broil and sliced it up
and brought it.
Yeah, very lean. It's good. It's very, very lean, but it's great.
It's very lean.
So not to belabor this particular portion of the interview, but Jose Raymond beat David Henry. That's saying something, because I think David Henry has one of the fucking prettiest physiques in the world.
He does. It was huge. I was glad I was there to watch it, because there's been a lot of argument on the boards about it.
You got to watch prejudging. Actually, Jose was even better at the night show.
I have a little story.
Remind me before we get too far, after you're done, PJ, remind me, because I have a little story about how I pissed off Jose Raymond backstage at the night show that people will enjoy.
Carl, he before he went on stage, he dropped his pants, and then I sucked him off real quick, and then afterwards he showed me his quads, and they were probably the driest, most impressive quads I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
So he absolutely, he earned that beating.
He had striations on the inside, the outside, the middle, everywhere, all the way up to his hips. It was amazing.
Jesus Christ.
And, he believed he was at his best. And it was really, really close. And I actually said to Jose, I said, "Man, you were so close with him. I think they might give the slight edge to David just because his back is so unbelievable." I'm like, "But you beat him in a lot of poses." I'm like, "It was very, very close. It could really go either way." And, I don't argue it. If they picked David, I wouldn't argue it either. That's how close it was.
Right.
But it's David beating Jose, I think, for the most part, would have been expected. Jose beating David was a huge, that's big news.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Congrats to him. Tell us the story, Aaron. What did you do to piss him off?
So, you know, after prejudging, I thought, just like PJ, that it was close. You know, even before prejudging, Sean Andros asked me, Dave and Sean Andros asked me to write a predictions article for who I predicted would win the Open and the top five, and then the same thing with the 202 guys. And, you know, although I'm, you know, I'm close friends with Jose Raymond, I wanted to, you know,
be objective.
Give my honest opinion. Right. And I wanted to be objective. So I saw David Henry weigh in at the weigh-in, and I saw him from behind his back, and I was like, oh my God, it's ridiculous, you know? He has striations in his lower lats just standing there. Like Kai Greene or Ronnie Coleman-esque, you know?
Right.
So I was like, so I predicted him first. And, you know, Jose Raymond is not the kind of bodybuilder that gets his feelings hurt easily. At least I didn't think so. So, you know, he was like, we kind of laughed about it and whatever. And after prejudging, I saw what PJ saw, and I saw that it was much closer than I thought that it was going to be. I saw that there were poses that Jose was winning. But all in all, I still thought that I was right that David Henry would win, you know?
Right.
And I thought that up until the night show the next day. I saw, you know, Jose do his routine. I was like, wow, he's even better. And I was like, you know, I went back and told him, you know. And when I went back, he was drinking a little cup of water. I said, Jose, I said, this is the best Jose Raymond I've ever seen. And he was like, thank you, thank you. This is right before they went back on for the pose down. I said, unfortunately, this is also one of the best David Henrys I've ever seen. And apparently that was the wrong thing to say. He threw his cup in the of water on the ground or in the trash can and walked away pissed off.
Well,
I was like, oh man,
yeah, really. That, I mean, because even if that's the case, you don't say that.
No, I know. Well, as soon as I said it, I was like,
you
oh,
realized I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know he's going right out on stage to battle with the guy. And, you know, I think maybe I galvanized him, you know, because he went out there and he battled hard. And when I actually saw them standing next to each other at the night show, I was like, wow, Jose really could win.
Maybe you did him a favor by doing that in retrospect.
Well, as soon as he came off stage, I was right there when Rodney Roller from MD was interviewing him.
Right.
And Rodney said, Jose, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Wait till we're on camera and then say the first thing that comes to your mind. And the first thing Jose Raymond said in his interview is, screw Aaron Singerman and his predictions.
Good.
That was the first thing he said in his interview. And they called me over and everything. And so I have to apologize to Jose for saying that. I already did personally, but publicly I apologize.
Did he accept the apology?
Carl, I think there might be something to that. I think maybe I actually caused him to win.
By giving him that extra incentive to prove you wrong.
I think so. So maybe he should be thanking me.
I actually think that his desire to prove you wrong was stronger than his desire to win the title, in fact.
What does the money mean anyway?
You may have to be at every competition he does from this point forward in order for him to win. We'll have to see what happens.
That had to be what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. I think maybe that or the blowjob you gave him before prejudging.
There you go.
Well, I am known for those. So. Yes.
Tell me about the after.
TJ's going to be in Jacksonville, Carl, so he can give me one right before I go.
There you go.
I know. I guarantee I'm getting messages on Facebook later about this.
Yeah, right. From all the schmoes.
Was Aaron being serious about that?
Tell us about the after party, Aaron. I heard you guys had a great time at the after party.
Well, I mean, to say there was an after party would be a little bit of an exaggeration, but after the show was over, I went out with Chris Zimmerman, his friend Glenn, Marcy Porter, who placed fourth in the figure, and Candace Keene, who won the figure, and actually Marcy Porter's family also. We went to the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, cool.
In which I will admit I did have a cheat meal and many drinks, or several drinks, not many, several drinks. PJ would not have approved of my cheat meal.
It was cheesecake.
Well, among other things.
Was alcohol involved in it?
I had pizza, a hamburger, french fries, cheesecake, and some drinks.
What did you drink?
What did you drink? Long Island iced teas.
Yeah, there's no sugar in those, right?
How many times have you drank on this diet?
Each one.
Every show he goes to, he's been drinking through the whole fucking prep. The whole prep he's been drinking.
Every weekend.
Yeah, the last two weekends he drank because he was at two different shows. Then he was someplace else a week or so before that he drank. So he's just,
and then a few, when I, you know, a few, what, 12 weeks ago or something, you know, I was going on dates, and when you go on dates, you can't just not drink.
Oh, you got to drink, because some of the dogs he went out with, on omelet.
Oh, God.
You need those fucking beer goggles, man.
Yeah. And afterwards, we went back to the hotel bar, we had a few more drinks, and then we went to the hotel club, which is like a little tiny mini dance club, and I had some drinks there, too, and had a lot of fun.
Now, tell me the truth. Is Candace as hot looking in person as she is in those pictures that are all over Facebook right now?
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. Absolutely.
I don't have to think about that one. Yes. We're going to have her as a guest on Off Topic Radio in the near future.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I have to plan it out a little more thoroughly. But then we will be having her definitely on.
You know her, PJ?
Not personally, no.
But you've seen pictures of her, right?
Yeah, she's very, very pretty.
Yeah. Yes. I think the name Tight Booty should be taken away from Karen in Australia and given to to Candace Keene, because she has a beautiful tight little ass on.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's for sure. We will. I will introduce PJ in Jacksonville, because PJ will be there rooting me on in Jacksonville. Unlike
he'll be rooting you on
Lenore.
Oh, come on. You don't think I want to be there? You don't think I want to be anywhere but fucking here? Please.
Well, fly in. I got PJ flying in just to see me. He's not coming to see the show.
I can't, Aaron. I can't. It's like having an 85-year-old mother is like having a 6-year-old
child. Bring her
with
you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get her a press pass.
Yeah.
She can do the video interviews.
Oh, yeah. Carl stole all my money.
Who are you?
That's her new thing. She tells people that I stole all her money.
All her money.
Yeah, all her money.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice thing to be introduced. This is my son, Carl. He stole all my money.
She told me she was going to call the cops on me. Wait. Last week she told me she wished I dropped dead.
Oh, yeah, Carl.
Right? She doesn't know what she's talking about anymore. No, I'm not putting her. I'm not doing it. I can't do it yet. She's not ready for it.
Sounds like she's really ready.
Nah, you know what? I'm not going to abandon her yet.
Oh, it's not abandoning it. We'll talk about this another time. This is a downer.
Yeah. The Italians, they don't do it, Aaron.
No. We put them to sleep.
Yeah.
We put them down.
It's not her time.
Like a sick dog, we put them down. That's what we do. So you hung out with Mike Liberatore again, huh? I can't believe.
I actually stayed in his room for 2 nights.
The poor guy got fucking thrown under the bus again.
Yeah, he got eighth place, man.
I mean, is it true that George Farah is what, like 86 now? And he beat Mike Liberatore? Is that true?
I actually like George. Me and him sat down and talked for a while. I've got nothing but good things to say about
George. Yeah, he's a really – I happen to have met him once and at the Arnold, actually. And he's a really nice guy. Very, very upbeat.
He's nice. I mean,
very
he's
upbeat
a,
guy.
His fashion sense is certainly questionable. But other than that, he's a nice guy.
What do you mean? Does he dress retro? He like still wears the bodybuilder pants, the baggy.
I bet you he does, but no.
MC Hammer pants.
In my gossip column, I have an article explaining his clothing. He explained it to me why he wears what he wears, and there's actually reasoning for it. But generally, he wears jeans, not loose jeans. You know, maybe a little like retro as far as style. You know, and then he wears a very tight shirt tucked into the he's a big guy, probably a size medium or large Ed Hardy shirt, or now Optimum Nutrition shirt tucked into his jeans with a belt. You know, not the most stylish, but there's a reason for these things.
It works for him, right?
It
shows
does.
Off his
he's
body
very successful at what he does. But yes, he beat Michael Liberatore. Let's see. Who else beat everybody? A bunch of
people. I thought Liberatore was going to finish fourth or fifth, personally.
Yeah, it's interesting because PJ was there for the callouts at prejudging, and the callouts usually dictate, you know, you can look at them and tell what place somebody's going to get. And I told Mike that he would be in fourth or fifth. And the reason why I thought that was because of the callouts. And I talked to, you know, several people in the industry, and they also thought he was fourth or fifth. I thought that at the night show, if they rejudged it and, you know, like they rejudged 50% is the night show score. I thought that it was even maybe a 20% chance that he could be third, if he came in tighter and drier and somebody fell off a little bit.
Right.
So placing eighth was a surprise, but you know, you don't ever really know what the judges are looking at. I'm not going to critique them. I don't really know the reasoning, and I haven't really explored it yet. So I think Mike is shutting it down until next year. So hopefully we'll see a bigger, better Mike Liberatore.
I think you could make arguments for a couple of the guys, but you know, I like George Parrott too, but he shouldn't have placed out of him.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I think you could make an argument for Keflianos. You could make an argument for Leo Ingram, for sure. Well,
Leo Ingram will actually be on the show next week. He's in Japan guest posing right
now. Leo Ingram is a monster of a human being.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is he big. He's huge. And he's not like a Paco Bautista. He's actually put together pretty well.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So
tell me something, not to get off track here. Debbie Bramwell, does she live in Las Vegas?
Bramwell.
Does she live in Vegas?
No, I think she lives in Alabama, actually, doesn't she?
Yeah, Alabama. That's right, Alabama.
I was communicating with this girl on fitness singles, and this little Chinese girl, she's really, really hot, and she lives in Las Vegas. And she has a picture with her and Jay Cutler and a picture with her and Debbie Bramwell in her profile. And so I messaged her and I said, do you know them? She goes, yes, I'm good friends with both of them. And I'm thinking, this girl doesn't look like she's into bodybuilding. And, you know, and this girl lives in Vegas. Does Debbie live in Vegas? Cause I wanted to like call her on her fucking lie. You know what I mean?
It's pretty easy to get pictures with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the picture she has with Jay Cutler, cause she's really little, she's really short. So she has her hand like it's supposed to be on his abdomen, on his stomach, but because she's so short, it's like a millimeter above his Johnson. and she's like smiling like this, and Jay is, you know, the statesman that he is, he's like standing there for the picture. But I'm sure that he's probably thinking, wow, this girl like goes a half a millimeter south and she's going to be holding my joint in her hand.
She's going to hold Mr. Olympia's hand.
She'll be holding Mr. Olympia's Olympia trophy. Exactly. So anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, so did we lose Aaron again? He's awfully quiet. Yes, we did. Well, that's okay because we have to take a commercial break now. Anyway, PJ, I guess are you leaving after this banter segment? Is that the deal?
I don't know. I leave when you guys tell me goodbye.
Okay, so then let's do this. I think that we need to wait for Aaron to come back. Mm-hmm. So you sit tight, sit through this break real quick, okay?
Gotcha.
And we'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm sure we'll have Aaron back as well.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine online retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I just want to remind everybody that Anadrolic State GT, which is an exciting and very popular pre-workout supplement, is now available at bodybuilding.com. And when you order it for a limited time, you will also get a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides, also from Anadrolic State. I mean, I'm sorry, also from LG Science. Sorry, I'm trying to read this live, Aaron. Anyway.
Yeah, I can tell.
I just got this in an email, and I wanted to go ahead and work it in instead of waiting till next week. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com and get free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last. Go to bodybuilding.com. Sorry. I was trying to read it off of the screen of my laptop.
LG Science is like, not going to sponsor them anymore. It's like...
No, they're great. LG is fantastic. I mean,
they have
done some great things on Superhuman Radio. They are very, very supportive of our show, both shows. I mean, they're great people. I love them. And Scott Conroy over there is wonderful to work with. So there you go.
And, are we going to do the shout-outs now, or you want to do them after Isaac?
Why don't we do them after Isaac? Isaac is on the phone right now. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
Good, good. Didn't I meet Isaac at the Phoenix Pro Show?
He did.
It's definitely possible.
Remember that webcam that kept updating?
You're right. You did meet him.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
We actually have pictures of that. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, cause you have a lot of involvement over at Get Big, right?
That's where I kind of put my name out there. I don't frequent Get Big anymore. In fact, I was just telling Ron earlier today on IM that his board tends to, The chats start well and they end up, your mom or your dad or whatever. So it's
it gets very schoolyard
like.
It
starts off with like somebody be like, Ed Nunn wins the Europa show in Connecticut, and then be a picture and somebody be like, oh, Ed Nunn looks good. And the next thing it'll be like, Ed Nunn's a bitch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so then it just
goes downhill from there, right?
that's why. Yeah, I mean, I started out when it came to boards and forums. I would visit all of them, but I didn't participate. And I did. I started doing kind of reports and stuff years and years ago for Muscle Mayhem, which I haven't been to that site in like, I don't know, 5 years or something. I don't even know if it's still around. But
that site used to be awesome back in the day.
Yeah, it did. There was a lot of pros on it, and that was the thing with Get Big. You know, Get Big was one of the first ones in the 90s, and all the pros would be on there, and you had people participating in intelligent discussions, and you'd have the pros chiming in, and then it turned into this, you know, let's bash the pros, which, you know, it's like nobody wants to see it. Well, some people thrive off of that, but I don't want to see that. But so I mean, Ron's trying to clean it up, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, on one side you want to have freedom of speech and let people say what they say want to say, but then to what degree? You know, like there has to be some level of, you know,
decorum.
Yeah.
Get Big is funny. It's interesting in the fact that it's a board that's about – it's a bodybuilding board, and yet there's very little, you know, actual talk of bodybuilding. And most people who are on it, usually it seems that they really hate bodybuilding.
Yeah, there's a lot of – well, I mean, there's different forums too. Like some of the forums that I don't ever go on but do really well and have a lot of people in it are like political forums, and there's different forums where they have their own little subculture going on, but yeah, most people visit the gossip and opinions, and it quickly diminishes to a bashing fest. But yeah, it's kind of, I guess that's the thing to where you just have to take the good with the bad, and hopefully Ron can reel that in and bring it back to what it was, you know, a few years ago.
And I got to admit, I do check the board several times a day, so it's not like I'm not going there. So
it is still popular.
That's for sure.
Yeah. You're popular.
Aaron's huge on Get Big. You need a shirt like
they,
that.
They say a lot of shitty things about you, don't they, Aaron?
Yeah, that's okay, though. Yeah. Yes, they say a lot of shitty things about me, but that's all right. That's to be expected.
And usually it's very anti-Semitic, too.
That's always nice. Yeah, and that's the thing, though, to where a lot of these people who are bashing people, they never go to the shows. And if they do, they'll never say the same things to your face. Because I learned to take the good with the bad. I mean, it's, you know, because I remember when I started posting on there, one of the things that kind of put my name out there was taking early photos of Phil Heath before he went to Junior Nationals. And I put photos out there, and I'm like, watch out for this guy. And then they're, you know, oh, you nut hugger, blah, blah, blah. Well, then, you know, Heath blows up, and everybody knew who he was before the Junior Nationals. But, you know, then that's where it turned into, you know, bash fest, because, you know, God forbid you do something positive or try and help somebody out. So.
Sure.
But whatever.
Well, Isaac, let's start. For people who don't know who you are and what you do, tell us what you do now. What are you doing these days?
Well, now I do mainly photography, and I'd say that's probably 95% of my business now is photography and writing. I have a monthly column with Muscle and Fitness Hers, and I run hardbody.com, and I do interviews and previews, reviews for bodybuilding.com. I've been with bodybuilding.com since about 2002, and so I keep busy. And I contributing photographer to Flex and Muscle and Fitness Hers, Inside Fitness in Canada.
Do you work with David Barr over there?
I don't. I work with the creative team more at the Weider Publications, like the Alan Donnelly and Chris Hobrecker and their art staff, the guys that you see at the shows too.
And you go to pretty much every show, huh, Isaac? I see you all.
And then this year's been the first year to where I've been. Well, I also work with NPC News, and at the end of last year, it started at Nationals. JM Manion and Jim Manion had asked me if I'd be interested in covering the shows, because JM had been the main photographer doing all the shows for the last 20 plus years. And he was focused on the magazine and getting better canned stuff and more stuff for the magazine aside from the stage stuff, and asked me if I would be interested in doing that. So, you know, and I go to the shows anyway, so I'm like, for sure. But, so this year it's pretty action packed. I mean, every weekend I'm at a show, and I haven't had a year like that where I'm gone every single weekend. So literally I fly out on Thursday and I come home on Sunday or Monday and do it all over again the next week. So I'm home like 2 days, 3 days at most, and do it all over again. So I see pretty much every national and pro show.
Do you collect your frequent flyer miles?
Yeah, that's one thing. I try and fly the same airline, but I don't always get to. Depends on where you're flying.
What's your favorite airline? Southwest?
Oh, I hate Southwest.
Do you really?
Southwest. It's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of playing bingo with my seats. You know, it's like, oh, hey, you got to be right at your computer and get the A gate. And then, you know, there's like people that are obsessed with that airline. And I guess your bags fly free, but no, I like Frontier Airlines. They're out of Denver, so I'm pretty much able to fly direct, and I have, you know, their premier status, and they take good care of me. I just got an email from them asking me if I wanted to be their special guest at a Cubs-Rockies game this Friday.
Wow, like, how cool is that? Oh, that's very
cool. So, and they're one of the few companies that, there's one flight where I was stuck on a plane for almost 3 hours, and I think there's the law where after 3 hours you have to, like, deplane, and so I started tweeting. I was like, you know, I feel like a captive. We're held prisoners on this plane. And they actually started answering my tweets back to me, which was kind of amusing. And then they offered the free TV. I'm like, well, no offense, but I already get free TV as somebody who flies your airline pretty much every weekend for 3 months straight and, you know, like 40 times a year. And so yeah, they ended up hooking me up with parking pass and seats to like the day after opening day of the Rockies game. And so yeah,
wow.
They're a company that it was cool to, you know, you don't, here you are like, you know, some whiny passenger and here's an airline listening to you and actually pays attention to it. So yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed. That's pretty cool. You know, so
yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Continental's never done anything like that for me.
No, that's the thing where, yeah, other airlines, you complain or say anything or even like say something positive and no, they'll just tell you what their next fare going on sale is or something like that. So.
Right. So Isaac, tell us a little about the photography. How did you get into that? I mean, how did you know that's what you wanted
do? Do you have a formal education in photography? Did you go to school and study that?
Well, I went to my history. I graduated from high school. I'm 34, so I graduated in 94, and I went to Podunk School in South Dakota. I mean, my graduating class was 20, well, 19. One kid didn't finish. So, I mean,
wow.
tiny town. And so it's funny to see now, like, friends of mine or, you know, guys that went hunting, they're like, they see my name in the magazines and they think that I'm famous or something. I'm like, no, not really. But, you know, you come from a small town and it's like, if you're in a magazine in any capacity, they think it's pretty cool in Podunk, South Dakota. But I went into basic training for the Army National Guard. And then I went to a four-year school in South Dakota and my degree was in advertising and design and a minor in business. So my background's in art. I always loved art and I knew that I wasn't going to make it as a painter, as a traditional artist. So I wanted to go into advertising and that's how I got into graphic design and learning the computer, Photoshop and the programs around publishing. And I signed up to be the advertising person for the newspaper and the editor got fired and then somebody else quit. So I ended up becoming the editor of the newspaper. And in those days it was paste up. So I'm like, this sucks. I know that I don't want to go into newspaper. And while I was at that four-year school, I took photography as a class and it was still in the dark room. And I remember the professor was it was right when the digital cameras were starting to become big. And he was like, you know, nothing will replace the dark room. So little did he know that.
But he was also, people should know that he was also a pedophile. He was hoping that nothing would replace the dark room.
I cannot confirm nor deny. But there was a cool process back then, you know, when you're in the dark room and you saw your photos, you know, coming to life and if you screwed up. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff to where, you know, you may not, I mean, think back to the pictures your parents took of you and that are in some photo book. You know, like now you probably delete half of them. So there's good and there's bad with digital. But I mean, that was my introduction to photography and I just did it as a hobby. I transferred to an art school in Omaha and went to an art college and then ended up working as an intern for a big ad agency. And so I got exposed to working with, you know, multi-million-dollar accounts where you would look at photographers' portfolios and hire them. You know, you'd look at, I mean, these guys were working on things from, you know, Jack Daniels to Nike. And so I got exposed to what really good work was by working at this ad agency where it was, even though it was in Omaha, Bozell was the name of it. I mean, we worked on Pork the Other White Meats and, you know, the Milk Mustache campaign. So I was exposed to a lot of really cool stuff at an early age of my career. And then I moved out to Denver because Denver was just awesome. And I wanted to be in a city that was active. And, you know, so I live in Denver. I have for the last 10 years now. And so when I moved out to Denver, I worked at a small design firm and I was doing websites. That's how I got into it all, was first doing websites. And then the photography thing just, I started going to shows and taking photos, and if I look back at those photos early on, they sucked royally. But, you know, it's one of those things to where you just get better and learn and hone the craft. And,
so, yeah, really, so really, photography was actually a necessary evil for some of those other, you know, the newspaper business and the ad agency business and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and looking back, I mean, that was the thing to where when I worked at the newspaper in college, a lot of the photos, I took the photos, and I mean, they're horrible. I mean, I still have copies of the newspapers, but yeah, it was something where, yeah, I didn't intend on, like, you know, I'm setting out to be a photographer, but yeah.
Did you walk around with a camera, you know, around your neck for a period of your life because you didn't want to miss that opportunity to get that great shot?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, if I had now I do, but if I had, you know, had I had a iPhone back when I was in high school or college, I would say that I probably would, you know, in digital too. I mean, I had an old school Canon to where it was, you know, heavy as shit. And yeah, you know, it was something that a lot of times I wish I had. So, I mean, I thought, you know, I'd always, cause I'm like visual and I can see things, but I didn't carry a camera around. I wasn't that guy, but, there's times that I wish I had a camera, but yeah, I mean, now with digital and everybody has a camera. And
yeah, and they're so small and they're in every friggin' device. Your cigarette lighter has a camera. Your phone has a camera. Your belt buckle has a camera. So it's hard to get away from them nowadays.
Yeah, you never know when somebody's taking your picture, so watch out.
You know what I think is really a pain in the ass, too? Getting back to some of these dating websites, because I've been, like, checking them out recently. People take pictures with their camera phones. These tiny little postage stamp size pictures that they put up on things, like people can actually see that shit. It's like, it's ridiculous. The pictures are like 1 inch by 1 inch. It's like, give me a fucking break. Like, that's not a picture.
They might not want them to be big because then you would be able to see all the details.
Well, I mean, and maybe that is the case.
They don't want a 10 megapixel, you know, picture.
Yeah, especially the women at my age. Because then you can see every crevice in their face, right?
Hey, Isaac, when you got started, Isaac, how did you meet women to photograph in the first place?
Well, see, that's the one thing. Like, I didn't seek out to meet women. I was like, there's a lot of guys that get into this industry because they're fans of muscle and they want to meet women and, you know, good for them. But that's, you know, if that's your prerogative, so be it. But, you know, it's like, I got into it because I saw websites that were horrible. I mean, I approached it from a branding, marketing, promotion, advertising type of thing. And so how I got into the whole bodybuilding scene was I went to college and I tried playing football and I learned quickly that, you know, I wasn't cut out for that. So I became the computer guy that sat at his computer all day. And then when I was working at the ad agency and I would eat fast food and drink Mountain Dew and, you know, just working crazy hours. So I got fat and then I did Body for Life. So I went from, you know, like 230 pounds as a total fat ass to down to 185. And that's how I learned like the multiple meals. And yeah. And I'd read the magazines. Like I still have Flex magazine and Muscle and Fitness and some of the old Muscular Development when like Reno Reigns, Lorenzo Lama was on the cover.
You know, I remember that.
So the 90s, you know, and then they shifted to like Brandy Doll and having nothing but, you know, hot chicks with big boobs on their covers. But anyway, I mean, I read the magazine and I was always a skinny kid. Like I wrestled from kindergarten all through high school, and you know, I was like 135, 140, and then here it is 5 years later, I'm 230. So, yeah, I'd turned into a fat ass. So, I went back to I did Body for Life, and that's how I got into. Then I went to the first show, was in Omaha, and it was like 10 people. It was pretty pathetic. And then I went to one in Kansas City, and it was huge. And then when I moved out to Denver, I went to go to the state show and it was sold out. I remember I had to buy a ticket off of somebody's mom outside. And it was the year that Heather was Polisky at the time. Heather Polisky Armbrust had won the stage show. And she had better wheels than the guy that won the show. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, they take their bodybuilding serious out here in Colorado. So that's how I got into it. And then the show was awesome. Jeff Taylor, the promoter, did a great job. But I went to his website and it was terrible. And so I emailed him in a politically correct way, I've so much told him, like, you know, your show was really good, but your website didn't really reflect, like, the type of show that you put on. And so I had done his website for free.
And Isaac, this is in 2000, 2001?
Yeah, like 2001, 2002, somewhere in that area. Yeah, I think it was like 2001, somewhere in there.
They didn't realize the importance of the websites at the time.
No, and a lot of people didn't. I mean, that was one thing to where, yeah, when I got into... When I started working at the agency, I was print, and I did, like, ads and sat in on TV commercials, but as logos and things like that, and didn't really it was just when the whole dot-com phase was blowing up. I mean, I had people throwing crazy money at me because I knew how to do Flash 2.0, and I almost moved to San Francisco. But it was like, you know, it was when like people were paying thousands and thousands of dollars for websites, but they didn't know why. And then, you know, all these people getting venture capital, and you know, it was like 98, 99. But then that burst, and then but people were like, oh, I need a website, but I don't know why. It's kind of like people now. Well, I'm supposed to be on Facebook and social networking, but I don't know why. You know, so it's that was the thing. To where it's yeah. I mean, when I got into it, people had websites, but they're horrible. And so when I did Jeff's site, that's how I got my start. Was I owe a lot to Jeff because he introduced me to the MPC and how his show structure, and then going to nationals. I remember going to my first USAs, and I remember seeing. Yeah, I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. Until I went to USA's and I saw Jumbo Palumbo was competing. I'm like, what the hell kind of freak show is this? Yeah, it's a whole different level. And it was when Dave was trying to get his pro card. And, yeah, like I hadn't really followed it that closely to know who the game players were. But, you know, that was my first experience at USA's. This was when Dave was trying to get his pro card. And it was like, wow.
We're going to go into a break in a minute, but I just wanted to mention something that Isaac's website is liftstudios.com. And there's an amazing picture of Chris Lytle, the MMA fighter. He looks like he showed up at a PETA convention wearing a fur coat because he's covered in red paint, but it's actually blood. What a great shot that is. Where did you take that picture?
I took that. I can't remember which UFC event it was. For a time, I was going to all the UFC events, photographing for bodybuilding.com.
It doesn't look like a Las Vegas stage. It doesn't look like a Las Vegas, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was actually at Mandalay Bay, and I was way up high, and I had, you know, huge. I think it was like 400 or 600 millimeter lens to where I was zoomed in like right on top of it.
Yeah, it looks like you're like 4 feet away from him. It looks like
they fight in an octagon, Carl, not on a stage.
No, but the what do they call the mat didn't look like a Las Vegas mat. They're usually white.
This is octagon UFC, Carl.
I understand, but they still call it a mat. The floor of
mats all look like this.
No, the mats are not all the same color. This one is blue.
Okay, ask Isaac. Isaac, is that a UFC mat? Is that what they
No,
look
it
like?
Is a UFC mat. I'm saying it didn't look like Vegas. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple years ago. So, I mean, they've since changed sponsors. But I think there was a Harley Davidson logo on there, if I remember
there
correctly.
Is.
But yeah, I mean, that was, I love shooting at Mandalay Bay because the angle of it, you clear the octagon. And you get to capture. That was when Forrest Griffin fought Rampage Jackson, and I mean, it was an awesome night. And, yeah, it was Mandalay Bay. And then I've also shot UFC events at MGM, and it sucks because the angle you're at when you're up high is. And that's the one thing that I learned early on. Like when I shot UFC fights when Randy Couture came back, and is held at the same time the Arnold Classic was going on. That was the first UFC fight that I photographed. And I was all bitter because I was up in the nosebleeds, but I didn't have the right lenses. And it's kind of one of those things where you learn, like, sometimes being down on the cage isn't always good because you have to shoot through the cage.
You don't
know. Yeah, and shooting through the cage is a challenge. And so I was in the bad habit of always, with bodybuilding, shooting and looking down. Well, you do that in MMA, and, you know, you just miss the finishing photo. So,
right. So yeah,
it's definitely a different and I photographed since then, and there's a local organization, Ring of Fire, in Denver that I photograph, and I've shot a couple times for Sure Dog, which is kind of like the Get Big of MMA. But it's fun. It's definitely keeps you on your toes. It's definitely different than
your logo is Lift Studios, but it's a guy thumbing a ride with a dog. Is that an actual silhouette of you and your dog?
Yeah, that's what it was intended to be. Yeah, I mean, but I'm. Because when people say lift, they're like, they don't, I mean, multiple playoff from the whole thing of, you know, lift and lifting and bodybuilding.
Right.
But
yeah.
And then, but yeah, when I first started out, like I felt like I was a guy on the side of the road looking for any piece of work that would come my way.
Yeah. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will talk more with Isaac Hines. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'll get you for this, Axel.
I'm fergalicious. Fergalicious definition. Make
carries evolutionary nutrition, the species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Ich sag dir, komm, wir gehen aus. Du sagst nein, wir bleiben zu Haus. Bleib uns sitzen, ich steh auf. An dem Scheiß gehst du.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio with our guest this hour, Isaac Hines. Isaac, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You said earlier that that you didn't get into this to meet girls.
No.
Would you say that there is a good portion of the photographers in our industry that, that do get into it to meet the girls?
I think there's some people that do. I mean, I think it's they're fans of female muscle and they get into it as fans. And I mean, I guess to some degree I was a fan of bodybuilding before I got into it, but I approach it as a business, whereas they're just happy to be taking pictures of girls. And some of them even put it on their websites. Like, oh, I make no mistake about it. Like, I'm a fan with a camera. It's like, well, yeah, that's great, dude, but I wouldn't consider you a professional.
So they're really looking for sex.
I don't know what they're looking for, but it's I just don't think that it's and that's that whole topic has gotten more. Whenever I post something on that on Hardbody and it goes out to various boards, it's like
that's what I was actually thinking about. I was thinking about a few. I guess it was probably a month ago now. You posted something about warning girls about photographers, you know, taking certain types of pictures. Why don't you tell us? I saw that Sioux Country. Tell us about this post you made and how it got everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of got misconstrued by a couple of guys, but it's like every year, well, every show, there's people that are, I call them just guys with cameras, and some of
this
them,
is before Junior Nationals. That's before.
Yeah, and there's some guys that run legit businesses. Now, whether you agree with their content or not is another topic, but they make good money running websites. And so their sole business is on photographing and videotaping women at shows. And I mean, I wasn't referring to them, but there's, you know, like a couple of those guys, the most vocal ones weren't even who I'm referring to, but they felt the need to defend their nation, which some may refer to as Schmo Nation, but you know, whatever. So it's like, but the guys I was referring to are the guys who have cameras. You'll see them with a tiny little video camera, and they'll have a girl mounted up against the wall in the hotel lobby. And you don't need to do that. Like, that's not, I mean, usually it happens, the worst is at Junior Nationals. You walk in the hotel, and there's like 20 guys, and half of them are legit because they're just socializing. The other half are like trying to be legit, hanging out with the guys who are legit. And so it's like, yeah, every year there's like, what, 300-400 women in a show. And women, a lot of, especially Junior Nationals, it's a lot of times it's the women's first show that they ever compete at the national level. Well, they come to the show, and most of the time they're not going to place how they think they are because they're the hot girl in their gym. And then they go to Nationals, and they realize, well, holy crap, there's 400 other girls that they're hot girl at their gym, and I just got beat. Well, then some dude with a camera comes up to him and says, oh, hey, I'd love to take your pictures. Well, now they feel like, oh, you know, I don't suck. Somebody wants to take my photo. And they'll do that, and then they'll end up with photos that 3-5 years later, when they do become, you know, a name in the industry, that they wish they had it. So it's
right.
I put it out there as, I generalize. I put out a blanket statement. And
that happens to guys, too. PJ Braun. I mean, PJ had some pictures taken that are floating around the internet today. That I know that he, you know, gets a lot of flack about, you know, when he was young.
There's a lot of, it's not just PJ Braun. There's a lot of guys who have shot for photographers or Muscle Gallery or one of these other ones that the pictures come back to haunt them for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's the other thing too, is like the women and even men, it's like, oh, you know, this is so expensive. And that's how they justify taking the photos. Oh, I got paid to do it. And it's like, well, is $150, $300 worth having photos that you're going to be ashamed of? And if it's not, you know, go for it. Because I always say, like, every person is different and every photographer is different. Like, there's some guys that shoot content for web-only sites, and they're legit. Now, do I agree with – do I think that they do great work? Not necessarily. But that's – for what they do, it serves its purpose. And some women should do that because they're not going to be in the magazines. And I call them schmodels. Like, they're the women, they're the models that are only model for schmo guys. You know, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to them, but it's like, that's truth. Like, just because you compete doesn't make you a model. And that's the one thing with the fitness industry, where so many girls think that, oh, well, I'm a competitor, I'm in great shape, I should be in the magazines. And it's like, well, no, you're not. Like, just because you're in shape doesn't mean that you're a model. And there's so much more that goes into modeling, I mean, and being successful in modeling. And one is having a face. And I mean, I'm sorry, but not everybody has a face to be a good model. So, you know, there's women that do very, very well with modeling. And, you know, I bought them because that's, you know, they should. And so, you know, that's why I never say, like, you should never shoot with this photographer or that photographer. There's only one photographer I tell people, well, I take that back to. One visits RX Muscles boards frequently. I think he's a huge pain in the ass and everything that's wrong about the industry. And he has the names Papa and Muscle in his name. And the other one is JC Lopez, to where, like, I think JC takes, I don't know if I'm saying it. Like, JC, I used to be like, oh, you know, I'll dance around. He takes great photos, but he should never be allowed to take photos of anybody off stage. Like, if you see any of his photos, you've seen, like, gorgeous women shoot with him. And he's made him look completely hideous. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? And I don't understand why some of these women do it. Like,
well, in his defense, he got his start working for Motor Vehicle. it's not his fault.
I don't. Hey, Lindsay Lohan's her photo when she went to jail looks better than a lot of these guys.
That's good.
But it's true. So I mean, and again, like I say, I'm generalizing when it comes to the schmoes and the schmodels, but it's like, yeah, like there's different, and I don't care what anybody does. I really don't. Like, if that's what you choose to do, so be it. But my thing is, a lot of these girls that come in and do shows are new and they don't know anything about it. So I try and educate them.
It's almost
them,
like when when a girl ends up, she goes to Hollywood and she's standing in a store and some guy goes, wow, you know, I could make you a star. And they're like, and they're so happy just having anybody pay attention to them. They're like, really? You're like,
and they go for the porn tryout.
Well, yeah, I can make you a star, but you got to do something with this donkey here. But you'll be a star. You will be a star nonetheless.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, where it's like some women make great money at it, and, you know, good for them. You know, but that's the other thing, too, is like part of it is when I ask her, like I get emails every day, and then I ask them, well, what's your goals with it? And a lot of times the first thing I think about, well, I want to be in the magazine. I want to be on the cover. It's like, well, if that's your goal, then you should be shooting with photographers who are professionals that get published. Don't be shooting with, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't have to. Like, there's a lot of really good photographers locally that can get you great images. But, you know, it's not, it's one of those things
well,
where.
Let me ask you a question, Isaac. Is what the photographer charge a telltale sign of.
That's a good question.
You know,
that's where I was going
I
next.
Mean,
no.
Okay.
No, it's like price doesn't equal quality, especially in the fitness industry, because there's some people that I think should be charging for their work. And I didn't, you know, and I guess I get it now to where when the bulk of my money comes from photography, and I do others, like I have a studio in Denver. So it's not just bodybuilding photography. Like that's what a lot of people think. Oh, well, you know, you're just a kiss ass because you're a company man and you have to, you know, it's like, no, I'd still make a living at photography if it wasn't for the shows. Cause I have a studio in Denver and I shoot MMA. I'm in the MMA community. I have other things outside of bodybuilding that I photograph. But when it comes to bodybuilding photography, I get it now to where when I first got into it, yeah, I was doing shoots with people and I wasn't charging. But then I didn't feel like my work was worthy of, you know, somebody mm-hmm. paying me for it.
Right.
And so that's how I ended up shooting. Like one of the first shots I did was with Adela Garcia, and I was friends with her, and she was cool enough to like shoot with me and then help, you know, she helped me a lot. She's like, well, let's pose this way or that way. And that's where, you know, I realized, like, I need to, like, I know what I want. And when I'm doing a shoot, you know, it's like I'm paying more attention to their position, their hair, you know, open your lips, close your eyes, you know, whatever it may be, versus like, oh, this girl's hot. Like, I'm not thinking that. So Adela helped me a lot with that when I first started. And so, yeah, now I charge. But, you know, that's how I get it to where the guys who are making their living, and there's people out there doing stuff for free. I mean, it's just like a trainer. You're the top trainer in your gym, and some new guy comes in and starts training clients for free. You know, well, that's hurting your business. But at the end of the day, you have to believe in your work and say, you know, that's fine. If you want to do that, you know, you may get good work, you may not. So.
Isaac, you were telling me before, a lot of times these guys who shoot for free are shooting for free because they're providing content to their pay site, which they have members who are paying whatever a month to see these girls.
Yeah, and that's the thing to where, you know, each girl is different. Like, I remember when I was in junior nationals, the girl was like, well, you know, there's nobody who really shoots stuff where I'm in the best shape of my life. I just want photos. I know that I'm not going to shoot with XYZ photographer who's, you know, the staff photographer for Oxygen or Muscle Fitness Hers or whatever. But I want photos, and a guy who comes along and asks me if I want to shoot, yeah, I want to shoot because I want pictures. But a lot of times these guys are shooting photos, they're not charging because they just want content, and they run what member sites. So, yeah, it's you know, it's teach their own. Like, if that's what the – like, if a girl just wants photos for their Facebook or for their dating site, you know, well, then, okay, cool, then you got something out of it. But on the flip side, those guys are getting something out of it too because – they're running a member site where they're charging people, you know, $10, $20
to look at your pictures.
Right.
To look at that girl's pictures, right.
Right. So, I mean, there's always the smart, you know, there's some guys who are just fans. And those are the ones that I call creepers to me, to where they're just like lurking around. They won't say anything to you in person, but they're very vocal online. You see them in person and they're like very meek and like, you know, hiding in the shadows, so to speak. And then they just want to take pictures of girls. And it's like, dude, that's kind of creepy. Like, you know, like, why? And where are you putting these? Well, I just want to give them to the girls. Well,
I'm putting them in my left hand while I use my right hand on myself. That's where I'm putting them.
So, yeah.
I've always wondered this, like when girls have their pictures taken and put in magazines or any place, do they realize that someplace, somebody is like whacking off to them? And what does that mean to them? Does that make them excited? Does it like excite them to think that somebody is having an orgasm to their picture, or does it repulse them?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there's some girls, I'm sure, like the smart girls, run a business out of it, and they don't care. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know what you're going to do, but I'm going to... It was like the... Did you guys see the HBO thing with the women's bodybuilders?
I caught a little piece of it, yeah.
Like,
with Colette.
I hadn't seen it, but I put the whole thing up on HardBody, and at the end of it, Brian Moss, who I think is incredibly talented, one of the best photographers, I think, in all of the bodybuilding world. And, you know, he does... Like, he's such a creative dude to where he's the one that does all the animal pack ads. But he used to shoot with Muscle and Fitness, you know, back in the 90s and did some super awesome stuff. But he was on there because he has a website, She Muscle, which is, you know, basically muscle porn. But he makes the point of, like, Brian Gumbel asked him, well, you know, don't you feel like you're exploiting the girls? Or some people would say you're the one that exploits them. And he's like, well, I'd say who's exploiting who? Because the women are the ones charging the men $8 a minute to watch them on webcam. And I was like, well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, here these women are making, I mean, if you're paying $8 a minute to watch a female bodybuilder on a webcam, it's like, holy crap, you know, like that's going to add up fast. So,
sure.
Yeah.
If you're paying $8 a minute,
crazy.
You're crazy because I'm getting it for four.
But I thought that was an interesting point.
Or you could get Carl for $3.25.
Hey, listen, I'll be guest posing at Walmart's tomorrow afternoon, actually.
In your thong, right,
Carl? You'll confuse me with the greeter, but I will take my blue vest off for you when you get there.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people, there's you know, there's a lot of people making really good money doing that whole genre of work. Yeah, and to each their own. I mean, that's, yeah, if that's what they choose to do, so be it.
Do you ever take any naked or porn-like pictures?
I've taken topless of a couple of girls, but it was for their own. They wanted it for their own well-being. Like, they never went anywhere else. Like, I haven't put it online or anything. Like, they got the CD and that was it. So, yeah, but that's the same thing to where it's like, I think if you pick up the newest Muscle and Fitness, Nicole Wilkins Lee, who's, you know, Figure Olympia, she's topless. So it's like, but she's covered up. Like, she's not showing anything. And they're shot by, I think we got John Russo, I think, the photographer, where they're classy and they're done well to where it's like, you can be topless. And they're not like, you know, what you would think of in the fitness industry to where, you know, it's implied nude, I guess would be more a better term for it. But, you know, they're not ramming anything up their ass or, you know, anything like that.
But that's Isaac, great. For the right money, would you take the pictures of them ramming things up their ass?
No, I suppose, you know, everybody has their price. So.
Is it true that when you do shoot some of these models nude, that you also get naked in order to kind of make them feel less vulnerable?
I don't think that would be a pretty sight for anybody.
That's great. That's why it's funny. Cause I was waiting for that because when you said to him, "Have you ever done any naked shots?" I was actually going to. I thought you meant, does he get naked before the shoot?
Yeah,
that would be interesting to explain. You take off your top, and I'm going to take off mine.
That's it.
That sounds like some Seinfeld episode or something where they come out of the bathroom change and George is in his underwear. Like, what? This is all oiled up. What? Yeah. This isn't what we're doing.
By the way, Carl, like George, I must take my shirt off before I go to the bathroom. I do. I'm not joking. It's the God's out of shit. I don't know why. I just feel more comfortable like with my shirt off. Anyway, okay.
Isaac, you one thing people don't know about you is you've actually competed in two bodybuilding contests yourself, right?
I have, yeah. When I was doing websites for, because that's when I got into it. That's all I was doing was designing websites. And I remember waiting for content, and a lot of it, how I got into photography too, was a lot of the girls didn't have photos for their sites, and it's like, oh, this is pathetic. Like, you're selling your image, and you don't have any images. But they're always like, oh, I'm carb depleted. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I forgot to send you a check. You know, so I'm like, oh, what? You know, really? Come on. So I'm like, you know, like, I'll do it. And I started dieting for a show, and I got in pretty good shape, but then I bailed out. It's like more of a mental thing to where I'm like, I want to enjoy my summer. But then I'm like, all right, I got to commit to this and did it. And I did, I think it was 2003. I did the Colorado Natural. And I mean, I'm 5'11 and I stepped on stage at 164. So I look like a beanpole compared to those guys on stage, but I gained a new respect for what competitors go through. You know, I was shredded. I wasn't very muscular. So I never consider myself a bodybuilder, but I've competed in two bodybuilding shows, and I know that, yeah, I have some appreciation for what competitors go through. I don't claim to know everything that they go through on the elite level, but at least I can, you know, I know what it's like to diet and do the cardio, and I can relate to, you know, two cardios a day and, oh, I got to eat this. Because I went to Junior Nationals 1 year and I packed food and I'm like, this sucks. Like, really? People are going to pack food and, you know, like eat clean. It's tough. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize traveling and a lot of times what these people do, you know, doing guest appearances and signings that, you know, to stay on your game and get your workouts and your cardio on top of your meals, it's not easy. So
unless you're on the Singerman diet, that is. In which case you can eat at Shoney's, Red Lobster.
Actually, Isaac had this. We were sitting together at the I guess it's the prejudging, the day show. They're both day shows. Show number one, the prejudging. And I saw him eating this very tasty-looking chicken sandwich.
Dude, that chicken sandwich was jacked.
Yes, and I went and got me a chicken sandwich too. And I, much to the delight of Sean Andrews, who ridiculed me endlessly on Dave Palumbo's radio show this week.
About eating that chicken sandwich?
Yeah, you heard that?
Yeah, I caught some of that, but they also said you like went out and got wasted too. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was weed. It was weed. There was no calories in weed.
No, it wasn't weed. If it was weed,
you know,
and
you know
the
truth is, you probably should have. I was just going to say you would have been better off if you had some weed.
No, if I would have smoked weed, Carl, I would have eaten nonstop.
Eaten everything. That would have been the end of your fucking competition right there.
That would have been a very, very bad idea.
That's funny.
Because when I smoke weed, Carl, I can eat pounds and pounds of chicken breast. So imagine being there by my, you know, going out after the after party to Cheesecake Factory. Hi. Oh, it would have been terrible.
Hey, Isaac, have you ever had a malfunction at a shoot? Whether either equipment went
bad.
Clothing
malfunction.
Well, I mean, I was thinking of that too, but I can't imagine that that's a big deal because you just fix it. These women are willing to take their tops off anyway. But, I mean, have you ever had a malfunction where you had to call a shoot off?
No, the closest thing that I had was doing a shoot on the beach where I got sand in my camera. So I had a minor meltdown, and that was where I learned early on to have, like, now I carry this backpack, which is heavier than shit, and I have probably four or five lenses and two camera bodies, so that's the one thing. Now I've learned a lot of things the hard way, so I avoid that now by carrying, two cameras with me, so if one goes down, I have a backup. So.
Isaac, tell us
about the most difficult person. You don't have to name a name unless you'd like to, that you've did a photo shoot with. The most annoying or the most difficult?
No, the most difficult's been a couple of my studio shoots in Denver, to where the woman is paying you to shoot, and they're not a model. They're not. They don't know how to pose.
Like boudoir type stuff, or
no? Just, you know, like they want to do fitness modeling. Mm-hmm. Like they want photos to send to the magazines. So they're in fitness clothing on a white backdrop, and you know, just simple stuff. Or they're trying to be sexy. That's probably the more painful thing, is a woman who's not sexy trying to be sexy. And I see that a lot with bikini on stage. Like,
and they do that. They do that pouty thing with their lip. It looks like they have Down syndrome.
The MySpace face.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. Don't do that.
No.
People are going to think you're retarded. Don't do that.
Yeah, the duckbill lip MySpace face.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but that's probably the most difficult, and it's happened a few times. So I guess that's, you know, if you want to call yourself a professional, you have to work through that and still get images because they're paying you, and so that's the challenge. That's probably the biggest challenge is to work through that.
I actually have a question on that line.
You ever had like a girl that you were doing a photo shoot with, and you're like, okay, so put your leg out here and, you know, do this, and they're like, no, I don't like that, no.
No, I never put them in compromising positions. But it's one of those things to where, like, sometimes I think I've had it direct opposite. Like, I was doing one shoot, and every time I go to look down and scrub through the photos, like, she would have her ass facing me, and it was like, what are you doing? Like, I don't want to take, you know, like, she wanted photos of her butt, and it was kind of like, well, you know, what do you, no, that, you know, let's turn this way. So, but no, I never, you know, I haven't had anybody, the thing where it has gone foul, I guess, and that's, it was more of when women bring their husbands or boyfriends on a shoot.
So
it's like that's where, like, a lot of the magazine shoots, they don't allow significant others on the shoot. And a lot of times they have, like, a hair, makeup, stylist, you know, lighting assistant, art director, creative director. They'll have, like, 10, 15 people. But I know now why, and I guess that's one thing to where it's a topic that's, you know, on some regards, there's girls like, don't ever go to a shoot alone. And I get that. If somebody doesn't have a reputable name or you did not,
he may rape you.
Well, there's some guys that are pretty creepy, so I get that. But you know, on the flip side, if you're paying money and you're doing a professional shoot, like, I would hope that you would do your due diligence and ask other people, you know, who have shot with that person, and you feel comfortable, you've talked on the phone or email or whatever, that, you know, you're there to, like, the sole reason you're there is to get good images. Now, I've had it happen a few times, and I suggest, it's up to them. Like, I don't care. Like, if they bring somebody to the shoot, that's fine. But I've learned I'll suggest that they don't, simply because the reason they're more worried about what their husband or boyfriend's thinking than actually modeling. So it's distracting, and their eyes will be looking off to the side, or they'll be tensed up, or they're not relaxed. And it's like, you know, because they're more worried about what their boyfriend's thinking because they're posing in lingerie. And so, yeah, it's one of those things to where that's fine. If you want to bring the significant other, you can totally do that. But if you end up with images that are less than spectacular, a lot of times that's the reason why. It's because whatever you're thinking is going to project tenfold on your face. So.
I got a question. Hold on, Aaron. I got a question in the line of what you asked a moment ago. A lot of these figure fitness and female bodybuilding competitors who you shoot, you know, they're contest ready, usually after a contest. They're dieted, they're grumpy, they're mean. I mean, are they difficult at that point in time?
If it's after a show, it depends. Like, if they won, they're super happy. And that's where now, like, you know, I charge for shoots, so I've learned the hard way again to get a deposit up front, because they're either going to be happy with how they placed. And I usually try and shoot them after the show, because before the show, you know, they're dehydrated, they haven't had food, and it usually doesn't turn out well if they're competing in the show. And but after the show, it's definitely a challenge at times, because they want to talk to you about why they didn't place well, or their significant other. It's like, well, choosing this call out, how come, what am I supposed to say at that point? I mean, I try and be as cordial as I can and be as positive as I can, and, you know, give them some type of reinforcement to take back and not, you know, go hang themselves. But it's like, at that point, you know, what am I supposed to say? I'm not the judge. Like, I wasn't the one that was determining where you place.
Right.
So it is challenging. And the other thing too is if I had my preference, it'd be like 2 weeks before a show, because they're in good shape. They haven't, like, you know, withered down and dehydrated, and they don't have a tan on. That's the one challenging thing after a show, is the tan, you know, it looks like they smeared, you know, chocolate bar all over their elbows or knees. Yeah, because the tanning solution is just, and you end up, like, a lot of times you end up with really crappy images. So
yeah.
If I was to prefer to shoot, it would be like 2 weeks before, or somebody not in the show. But, you know, sometimes it's not always feasible. And then there's times where I kind of act as, you know, the scout, so to speak. Like, I'll shoot a girl who is attractive and do kind of a test shoot and see how she shoots. And then I let magazines know, you know, hey, she was good, or, you know, she was really stiff. She wasn't good. She was, because a lot of times you may be a great competitor, but a crappy model, or you may be a horrible competitor and be an awesome model. I mean, there's girls that, like, when I was at Junior Nationals, there was a girl that placed, I think she was tied for 16th, but she had a really beautiful face, and I ended up shooting her, and she was way better than a lot of the people that won the show. So, yeah, and that's when I'm at a show, that's what I'm looking for. Because, again, it's a business for me, and I treat it as such. So when I'm looking at competitors, like, just because you won the show, it doesn't mean that I have any interest in shooting you. And I'm not saying that from an egotistical thing. It's just a business standpoint. It's like, if your photos aren't good, I have no use of working with you. You know, I
mean, hey, Isaac, has a girl ever, I mean, I'm sure it's happened before. Have girls hit on you? I mean, you're shooting them. You're in a position of power in the industry. Do they ever, you know, Anything like that ever happen?
Yeah.
Or how often
sure.
does
I
it
mean,
happen?
Well, now, question. Like, the bigger thing now is, like, when you have a column in a magazine and you're at every show and, you know, like, hard body, because a lot of the women read what I write, and I forget that, or, you know, you work with bodybuilding.com and they want to be in the magazines and they want to be famous, so to speak. So I've had that happen, but now my circle is very small just simply for that reason, because you don't know what these girls and, you know, guys do, their motives of being nice to you. They just, you know, they want you to hook them up with a supplement company. And that's the bigger thing, is they see that I have relationships with supplement companies and I've gotten people exposure, which turned into supplement signings. And so they're all, I don't say all of them, but I generalize, and I, you know, I definitely have my guard up to where it's like, if some girl's laying the Mac down, my suspicion is you're probably trying to be overly nice because you want something. So.
Right. By the way, it should be said at this moment that, if you can hook us up with any supplement companies as sponsors, I can text you a picture of Aaron's ass.
Very attractive, Isaac.
No. I have a photo, a recent photo of Aaron's ass. I can send to you now, and you can put it on Hard Body.
No, don't do that.
Yes, hook us up with a couple sponsors, and I will send you this fucking picture right now.
It'll bring a lot.
Yeah, I'm good. I think I can. I'm good on the Aaron butt photo.
Everybody wants to see the white gorilla ass that Aaron carries around with him. So, okay.
Yeah, no, my condo looks like a mini GNC with all the supplements that I get. But yeah, that's the one thing too. To where, yeah, now I work with supplement companies. I'll do shoots with them too, and so that's, you know, a lot of times too. First thing, I can hook you up with supplements. It's like, oh, no offense, but I work with bodybuilding.com, so I can get supplements whenever I want to. I don't need supplements. Don't pay the bills. So
that's right. That's right.
At the end of the day, it's a business. I mean, that's why when girls start complaining about their placings, it's like, well, why are you doing this? You know, a lot of times they get into the I've shot guys too. Like, I've done work with Muscle Tech, to where I've shot Darren Charles and Johnny Jackson, those guys after show. And there's guys that are prima donna. None of those guys are. They were both
divas,
awesome, but,
male divas.
But yeah, there's male divas for sure that are without supplement contracts because, you know, they'll be crying at a shoot or complaining that they didn't place well. And so, you know, it's not just guys that are challenging.
Isaac, we're at the end of the interview. I want to know, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah,
plug your websites.
No, well, you guys did enough plugging.
Okay.
I don't know about plugging. But
okay.
Do you,
should also be said, do you do wedding photos and bar mitzvahs and stuff like that too?
No.
Can I hire you to do my bris?
My bar mitzvah. I want
bris. I'm having a bris next week. I'm being circumcised. Would you come take pictures?
No, Aaron can show up with his iPhone. He takes awesome pictures.
Yes. Isaac, thanks so much for putting up with us and coming on the show. And I hope I get to hang out with you again.
Hardbody.com, liftstudios.com.
Liftstudios.com and Hardbody.
You can find them all over Facebook too. Isaac Hines, Lift Studios, Hardbody.
And we'll
event soon near you.
I'll see him in Jacksonville and then in Dallas, so I'll be seeing him soon.
Yeah, I'll
enjoy your time in Vegas.
There you go.
We'll see you there, guys.
All right, take care, Isaac. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Guy Sisterino. Am I pronouncing that? Sisternino. We got to do shout-outs when we come back. Here we go.
Thank you, DJs.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species Nutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Mr. Bombastic, we order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. Shut it. Mr. Lover, lover. I'm Mr. Lover, lover, girl. Mr. Lover, lover, I'm Mr. Lover, lover.
Welcome back to Off Topic. I'm going to just do some shout-outs real quick for the RX Muscle Board here. We got Green Machine 23, Keith Allen, Yukon Crazy, Justin, Wolverine 565, Fatback Gold, Robert the Strong Man, KZ, Manav, Scottish Muscle, PJ Braun, Victor Bossier, V. Bossier, The Big King, Alaska Muscle, Warped, Jeff the Producer, thanks for posting the show, The People's Champ, 11, Jer, Buff Guy, Andy Too Hot, Joe Sestrino, I'm sorry, Cristiano, I got Guy Sestrino on my mind, Queef Von Titty Balls, oh, that's a new name, that's a good one too. Growing 24/7, Go Home, Bellissima, Damian Myers, and If I Took Roids, I'd Be Mr. Olympia, Chris 250, my man Chris, you're supposed to send me a message on Facebook there, and G. Davis. JL Giller is not posted yet, but we want to give her a shout out. Also to any of the people over at Anabolic Society that are listening to the show, and of course Muscular Development and Get Big. I know we're not posting threads over there, so I don't know who is actually listening to the show anymore, because we don't get feedback from over there. I also want to mention one other thing. We had a really good show on Superhuman Radio. For those of you who want to go check it out, I had Anthony Roberts on today, and we revisited an herb, a South African herb that I first talked about in November of 2008, called bullbine. And it is a testosterone booster with some real merit, and I predict you're going to see some supplement companies coming out with this product in the very near future. So check out Superhuman Radio, today's show. I think you'll really enjoy it. Aaron, you there, brother?
I'm here.
Okay, good. And you want to introduce our next guest?
Are we going to do shout? I guess we'll do shout
out. I did shout out. I did all that while you were doing your thing. I did shout
out. Oh, you did? You
yes,
did all
sir.
The shout
yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
I wasn't just doing my thing, Carl. I was drinking egg whites and urinating.
Good. Well, make sure you don't drink your urine by accident and then throw the egg whites away. You can get
that
easily confused.
That would be a
confused,
horrible mistake.
Very easily
I would
confused.
Never do that,
Carl. I've done that. Okay. All right. So you want to introduce
well,
Guy?
Our guest for this hour is our friend, IFBB pro, Guy Cisternino.
How you doing, Guy?
What's going on, guys?
Good. Glad to have you on, Guy. Guy just got off work, ran to the phone. You're back at your grandparents' house using their phone, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay on the portable till it starts beeping. I'm going to go to the landline so there's no clicking over.
Okay, cool.
Remember, he did this last time, Carl.
Yes.
No,
sir.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just. He's joking.
What's going on? Guy, I've seen you recently at the Connecticut Battle of Champions. I've been mistakenly calling it the Show of Champions. It's the Europa Battle of Champions in Connecticut and Hartford. It was your pro debut. I saw pictures of you that PJ Braun sent me from a few days out where you looked absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Totally shredded. I'll have to send it to Carl. Since it shows your butt, I won't post it on the internet for anybody, but you'll just have to, people have to believe me. Guy was absolutely shredded. So Guy, what happened? How do you feel like you play six? I was very surprised that was the end result. Tell us what happened.
Well, first of all, that picture is actually posted on, somebody was, giving me shit on MD, for talking about how conditioned I was going to be in. And, then, one of my buddies, Rod, told me to post the picture of that. So what I did was actually put the picture in paint and paint it on trunks and put it on ND so the guy would shut his mouth.
Wow.
But pretty much what happened, man, is that picture was taken. I was actually – the reason why I don't have trunks on, I mean, it was a back double bicep, so all it really shows is my back and my ass. But I was pretty much about to walk out the door on Thursday – to go to Connecticut, and, you know, Neil was like, how you feeling, how you looking? I go, I feel good, man. I said, I told him, I look retarded, and he goes, send me a picture. And I go, I don't have any trunks on. He goes, send me a back double bicep, I don't care. I said, okay. Went out on my deck, my fiance, Bethany, took a picture of my camera phone, sent it over to him, and he goes, you look great, you're bang on. I'm like, awesome. I was excited, I was pumped, and, you know, PJ wanted to see the picture, so I sent it to him. And pretty much it's hard. I did an interview with a workout video with MD about 3 weeks out from the show. And the main thing that I focused on was, you know, this is all new to me. This is a new, you know, a new coach, a new nutritionist, a new mentor, a new way of prepping. Anybody can get somebody in conditioned before a show. It's the 72 to 24 hours before the show that can make or break anybody. And I said that while I was doing the voiceover for MD, that the carb-up process was going to make or break me. So what happened was, you know, Neil pretty much asked me what I had to eat on Thursday. I said I ate my first two meals, and he goes, how much water have you had? I said about a liter and a half to 2 liters of water. So Friday morning I woke up, and I was always used to having – you know, when I worked with Dave or whoever I worked with in the past, was always there the day of the show. Neil, unfortunately, couldn't be in Dallas with me, so it was me in the mirror, you know, and I had to give Neil's feedback. I had pictures that I was taking with my phone and uploading them to my laptop. Obviously, the lighting sucked no matter where I went. So Neil couldn't tell if I was washed out or if I needed to be fuller. So we pretty much, he manipulated my carbs and my sodium and my water Friday morning. And pretty much what happened was I spilled over Friday morning, and whatever water that I took in, no matter what I did, I could not rid my body of the water, and I just basically spilled over. It's the first time I've ever spilled over in my entire life, and it pretty much looked like I was I wouldn't say fat on stage, but you know, I took sixth place. I was very disappointed with my placing. Disappointed of how I looked on stage, but you know, I can't put the blame on Neil, and I mean, Neil blamed himself solely, but it's not his fault. You know, there's a team involved when you have a coach and you can't put 100% of the blame on him. You know, it's obviously part my fault because, you know, I was trying to give him feedback based upon what I saw in the mirror, and it pretty much didn't go as planned. So we're prepping for the Dallas Europa in 3 weeks. So that's pretty much where it stands from here to set the record straight for people who thought I was fat and out of shape.
Well, you definitely weren't fat and out of shape. You know, from seeing you up close, you know, just a few feet away, even before you got on stage, you weren't holding any fat. You just looked like you were holding a thin film of water, all basically over a majority of your body. You know, pretty much your whole body. You're holding.
How were you sleeping the nights before?
I passed out.
No, no. So you were You slept well the nights before the competition.
Yep.
Okay. So
well, the thing that I found strange, you know, when we talked about what the protocols you were using, some of the things that Neil is having you do seemed very, very unusual to me. You want to talk about those things?
Well, I have some stuff in my mouth and my food.
Sound like Carl.
Neil was asking me if I was full or if I was flat. And I said, I feel full. I look like I'm full, but I also said, I don't know if I'm full or if it's, or I'm flat or if I'm full and I'm holding a film of water. I said, it's hard for me to tell just pretty much because of the simple fact that I've never eaten carbs like I've had in the diet prep like that before. I've never had carbs that far out. He started carving me up Tuesday night for the show. And so I was unsure if I was flat or if I was too full or if I was holding water. I actually had one of my buddies, Chris, come in the room and look at me. And I'm like, do you think I'm full or am I flat? Am I water? And he goes, it's such a thin line to decipher what you are. He's like, I don't even know what to tell you, you know, if you're full or if you're flat. So what Neil tried to manipulate exactly what I ate and what I drank Thursday morning because I was so crisp and dry. I mean, Aaron, you saw the picture.
Yeah, you were ridiculous. If you would have come in like that, in that picture, you would be third place for sure.
And what happened was is that I had already drank the water. I already had about 2 liters of water. That was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So Neil's thought process was if he would to cut my water early on in the day, what was going to happen was I was going to completely flatten out. Because it was the carbs plus the sodium and the fluids that I had in Thursday morning that made me that full and made me look that hard and grainy. So why take the fluid out, you know, Thursday night or early Friday when I looked that good Thursday morning after having all the food and all that fluid?
Let's just go back for a second, guys. So he was actually giving you sodium while he was carb loading you. You kept your sodium in while you're loading.
I didn't have sodium with every. There were certain meals I had sodium and certain meals I didn't.
Huh.
But yeah,
so you were limiting the sodium or not even limiting?
I was limiting my sodium, but I was having sodium.
Okay. The reason I ask is for people who don't know what he had Guy do. I don't know if this is a secret or anything, Guy. Am I allowed to say what he had you do on the day of the show?
About drinking water. I mean, it's no secret, but you know what? I don't want to tell everybody what I don't want people to think what I did is the right or the wrong thing. What Neil did with me might work for somebody or might have worked for one of his clients in the past, but essentially what he did with me just having my body didn't respond well to what he did. I mean, yeah, he had me drink water to try to get the carbs to push into my muscle and to push through the skin, and essentially that didn't happen. My body ended up pretty much just spilling over and holding a shit ton of water.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that what Neil had you do was very unorthodox as far as giving you. Now, I'm not in a position to doubt Neil. He's you know, if anything, he's an expert. But what he had you do by continuing to drink water and even drinking a substantial amount of water before the prejudging and adding sodium with the carbs, it just seems like a very strange move, you know. Everybody thought it was strange.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was is that my salt intake was still extremely high on Thursday when you saw that picture.
Right. So what he was trying to do was he was trying not to change anything.
Exactly.
So good on Thursday, he didn't want to change anything.
And then we didn't change anything, and we almost manipulated the same thing we did on Thursday. And for some reason, I guess it was the amount of water I took in that short period of time, my body was like, thank you, I've been waiting for that, and then that was it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was just thinking. That on Thursday, you peaked, basically. And then everything after that was surplus, and then your body
exactly.
didn't need to handle it.
And, you know, I talked to Neil after, and he explained to me why he did what he did. And he's like, I feel horrible. He's like, this is my fault. And I'm like, Neil, I'm like, I'm not mad at you. I'm like, you know, you live and you learn. And he's like, well, you know, with your pro debut, you look so good. You know, Thursday night, he's like, I just still don't know what happened. And, we talked, and he goes, you know, he goes, you're not carb sensitive. He goes, it's more of a water issue with you. He goes, I have to water restrict you and carb load you hard and cut your water earlier, and then you'll be fine. He goes, because I can give you as much carbs as I want. He goes, as long as I cut your water in time, he goes, we'll be fine. He goes, and obviously not work with you. He goes, I learned something new, and I'm sure you did too. I mean, there's people that were saying, you know, why would you change something if you look so good in 2008? Who wants to see a 202 competitor at 175 pounds shredded? I mean, granted, right. I was shredded in 2008, but I'm a professional athlete. I'm a professional bodybuilder. I don't want to be 175 pounds in a 202 class. I'm not going to do the same thing. I don't want to be that weight. I want to be heavier. I want to be shredded. And I was, but the 24 hours before, you know, we did something new. We tried it, and you live and you learn, and I'll be better in Dallas.
Right. So the plan for Dallas is basically to try a more traditional approach.
Well, yeah, and Neil's going to be there, too, in Dallas.
That'll
help. And it's going to be a hands-on. So I don't have to worry about lighting, taking pictures, you know, what's washing me out, what's not. He's going to be there, hands-on, you know, telling me what to do. He'll be, you know, physically seeing me and seeing how my body's reacting to what he's doing. So pretty much all that stress of taking pictures and uploading them and sending them and emailing them and calling them and making sure we're on the same time frame and, you know, all that stuff is pretty much a stress that I don't have to worry about, so.
Hey, I got a question. Can I work one in here?
Of course, please.
I heard
absolutely not, Carl. I don't want to talk to you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll hang up now. Let me go stand in the corner. Anyway, you did a seminar not too long ago at a Paramus Gold's Gym, and you said that you thought that the 202 class actually, and I thought this was really insightful of you, by the way, that you thought the 202 class could actually make bodybuilding a mainstream sport. Want to talk about that?
Well, pretty much. Mainstream meaning, I mean, you have these, listen, your average guy is not Ronnie Coleman. Your average guy is not Jay Cutler. Your average guy isn't, I mean, listen, I'm not saying your average guy is David Henry, Jose Raymond, Eduardo Correa, Flex Lewis. Okay?
No, but those are much more attainable weights. Those are much more attainable sizes and weights.
Exactly, and that makes, you know, that gives people that are just getting into bodybuilding that are maybe in high school or, you know, just starting out in college, wow, this guy's on stage at 180, 190 pounds. I think I can do that one day. You know, I might be able to look like that. And, I mean, I think it gives bodybuilding, you know, a different light than these huge mass monsters. Listen, I'm not saying I don't like the big guys. I mean, I'm a short guy. I mean, growing up, I always liked Kendall Livroni was one of my favorite bodybuilders growing up. And, I mean, I always loved Lee Priest. Sean Ray was one of my favorites. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. It's not that I never liked the bigger guys, but I think that because we have this 202 division, it's going to bring more of a mainstream and a bigger audience of guys that maybe it never really appealed to because they thought that these guys are so big that at 150 pounds, these guys are competing at 300 pounds. I'm never going to be able to do that.
Well, and I think also to the mainstream audience. You know, part of the problem that the mainstream audience has with bodybuilding is the freakishly large guys, the guys that are 270, you know, and ripped to shreds, because it just screams like everything that is potentially aberrant about the sport, the drugs and everything. But when you see a guy, like you said, who's 190 pounds and he's got this, and also the 202 guys tend to have much more aesthetically pleasing physiques because they have to stay in that weight range. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I agree with you. I thought it was very insightful. Anthony Roberts told me that he was at that seminar and that you said that. And I thought, you know, this guy has hit it right on the head. I think that the 202 class could appeal to the average American.
It also, Carl, it gives hope to a lot of these bodybuilders who are middleweights, light heavyweights, lightweights. You know, all the a majority of the guys who are in bodybuilding don't have the potential to be 240, 50, 60, 70 pound bodybuilders, no matter what they do.
Right.
And I know. Look at Jose Raymond, a friend of ours, a friend of guys. He won, you know, 8 national titles before he became pro, because he knew he couldn't compete with the Jay Cutlers and Kai Greens and et cetera, et cetera. So he took all that time. He never thought he had a chance as a pro. Never even had ambitions of being a pro until the 202 started.
Well, and if you even look at like MMA fighting, for instance, right? The most exciting fights, the bread and butter fights, the real fights that people talk about for days and days. It's not what's his name?
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean that you know, when it was such a letdown to watch Brock fight because they're so slow moving. Those guys, they're like, you know, two behemoths slugging at each other. It's like, oh my god!
It's like watching two offensive linemen battle it out on the O-line.
Yeah, yeah. So, right. And I use that analogy with bodybuilding. I mean, sure, you've got these guys that are just monsters, and you look at them the way you look at a train wreck. It's like you can't turn away. But do you really? Would you really want to look like that? No.
There is no doubt, Carl, that in Connecticut, the most exciting part of the entire show was the 202 and seeing Jose Raymond beat David Henry. That was by far.
I thought that was very insightful of you. I think you really, and I think that if the professional bodybuilding governing organizations would pick up on what you picked up on, they could absolutely bring a product to mainstream television that would be that most households would look at and go, "Gee, that guy really looks great." Because the 202 class is almost the bodybuilder of yesteryear. It's almost a Renaissance bodybuilder body style as well. I mean, you know what I mean? They have that nice taper. They don't have the big blocky look because they're not going for just to be as massive as possible.
I mean, there were so many guys too back in the early 90s, late 80s that competed in 210, 208, you know, in that range where they could have dropped to a 202 if there was a 202 class. You know, they never could. I mean, Sean Ray was probably one of the best smaller bodybuilders that never won the Olympia, and I'm sure if there was a 202 showdown back then, he would have had 8 titles.
Right. Oh, yeah. And you know, and you know, and I just thought about it. You know why it's that way? Because there is a weight limit. You got these guys where they go, get as big as you want. That's not always the greatest thing in the world. But when you say to somebody, look, you have to make the most appealing physique, the most muscular physique, the most well-put-together physique, but you got to stay under 202 pounds, 202 or under. Now the guy has to go, okay, do I just want to put on sheer size, or do I really want to sculpt my body? Because I have a limit. I have a limit to how much weight I can put on and get on that stage. So I have to use everything I do has to be well thought out so that I put my body together properly. So it forces bodybuilders to become artists again instead of, you know, monstrosity makers. You know what I mean?
You know, and another thing, I mean, I love the sport of bodybuilding. If I didn't, I wouldn't be in the situation, you know, that I currently am in. But the one good thing is that, especially like when I was an amateur in 2007, when I lost to Jose, you know, everybody was like, doesn't that piss you off that he won, you know, 3 different times and never took his pro card? And I'm like, honestly, it really doesn't piss me off, because if his aspiration was to compete as a bodybuilder or to win as a middleweight so he can compete, it, you know, one day, and they just so happen to have the 202 division the year prior, you know, why am I going to be mad at him if that was his goal? Like, I was happy for Jose. You know, he finally won, and he finally can compete at the pro level. And, you know, what happened with me in 2007 going into 2008 Nationals is that I had to actually make sure that I didn't get above a certain weight and get too heavy in the off season, because if I did,
bingo,
then it was going to be such a struggle to get down to a weight and sacrifice losing muscle. I mean, bodybuilding is about is getting, you know, and gaining as much muscle as possible with maintaining your symmetry, with maintaining your condition and your shape and your hardness. And, you know, that's hard to do when you gain so much weight. I mean, these guys, you hear everybody talking about, oh, this guy's got a GH gut, or, you know, he's taking so much shit, his stomach's sticking out. It's not that. When you have to feed yourself so much food to gain so much muscle when you're that big, what happens, you just stretch the line of your stomach out. I mean, there's guys that are, you know, 202 competitors that, you know, when they try to put on weight, you know, they're force feeding themselves or they don't have a big appetite. I mean, that's just part of the game. I mean, there's so many different aspects of bodybuilding that come into play as far as, you know, whether or not it's mainstream or not. I mean, as far as, you know, the big guys go, I love going to, you know, when I was at the Arnold, I loved watching. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a 202 division this year. I heard there was talk that there was going to be in 2011. But, I mean, watching those guys on stage for me as a bodybuilder inspires me to maybe hopefully one day be, you know, an open competitor. You know, so that's what's good about the 202. It's almost like, you know, we can stay in the 202 for, you know, maybe, you know, 5-6 years and maybe have, you know, aspirations of gaining that weight and gaining that muscle and being, you know, at an open competitor like a Hidetada Yamagishi and competing against the bigger guys and winning shows.
Right, right. Hey, Guy, we're coming to the end of the segment. Do you have anybody you want to plug?
I mean, I got to give a shout out. I mean, my fiance Bethany. I mean, she helped me out through my whole entire prep. She was there for me the day of the show. She tanned me because there was no, you know, I was sponsored by ProTan, but ProTan wasn't there spraying. So she put coats and coats of tan on me. You know, she pretty much made it as stress free as possible. My family was there. Her family was there. A bunch of my friends, Dominic, PJ, Rod, Nick, Darren, Chris, they were all there. Aaron, you were there, all supporting me. I mean, you guys were all great. And, you know, if I, you know, I feel like, you know, I let myself down, but, you know, for the show, but I feel like I let a lot of my fans down that were, you know, pulling for me and thinking that I was going to be in a, you know, the best condition of my life, but I can guarantee a better package in Dallas now that, you know, we figured out what went wrong.
Okay.
So
that sounds great. All right. Well, listen,
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Dallas, Guy, and hopefully we'll have you back on talking about how you qualified for the 202 showdown.
I sure should hope so.
All right. Hey, thanks for being on Off Topic tonight, man.
Thank
Carl,
you, Guy.
Be good, guys.
All right. Take care.
Aaron, take care, bro.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon, Guy.
Yep.
All right, we have some last-minute shout-outs to do.
Yes, let me give a very special shout-out to Jilly Rev on the board, Jillian, who actually won. This is a PJ Braun's client who actually won the overall in figure, Carl, at the amateur portion of the Battle of Champions Europa show in Hartford. So that means, Carl, that she won her class, and then the class winners came together of all the different classes and figure, and she won the whole show. So it's pretty impressive.
Yes, yes, very much so. Congratulations, Jilly Rev. The hard work that goes into it, we know. And does she still work with PJ for?
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you go.
PJ's
so, well, there you go. So, and congratulations to PJ for bringing another champion to the stage. And then
he was very excited for.
Oh,
her,
I'm
so,
sure. I'm
so,
sure.
So were we.
And then we have to give a late shout out to Big Nut, who showed up on the board late and was worried that he would miss the shout out. So there you go. You got your shout out. And so your competition is in 2 weeks, right?
Yes, in Jacksonville in 2 weeks. And everybody basically, but you and Lewis is going to be there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If by the grace of God, something happens and I can do it, because I can get a ticket. That's not the problem. But the problem is just getting away. And I have a lot more going on right now than you know about and I can share with you off the air. But I'll try to make it. I will.
That would be really fantastic if you could make it.
Yeah, I would like to make it. I would.
You can stay with me for free.
Yeah, that'd be great. I could put your tan on for you, too.
Oh, I'm counting on that. Why do you think you can stay with me for free?
I'm gonna wear a rubber glove to put. I want to put the tan on your pichatil. That's what I want to do.
Oh, that's part of the deal.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
My pichatil is part of the deal.
All right, listen, I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to the show. We've been having some amazing downloads since we got the new server up. I'm watching some of these downloads for Off Topic. It's amazing, the ones that are just coming to us. The show continues to grow, and that is exclusively has nothing to do with Aaron and I. It has all to do with those of you who take the time to listen to the show.
And Carl, every time we say this, we actually something good happens and we get new sponsors. So, yes, we are looking for sponsors, nutritional supplement companies, clothing companies, anything.
Workout gear, equipment.
Carl, we even had a knife company for a while. If you want to sell your knives with Off Topic Radio, you give us a call.
And our audience is very, very large, and rates are very reasonable. So if you are interested in sponsoring, get in touch with me or Aaron through Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, or you can email me at jubaka@rxmuscle.com.
You better spell jubaka.
J-E-W-B-A-C-C-A, jubaka. Right.
BACCA. Okay.
Yeah, two C's at rxmuscle.com or Facebook or anything else. And
thank our guests. I want to thank PJ Braun for coming on tonight and filling in during the banter. And, of course, Isaac Hines.
Hardbody.com, liftstudios.com, and Guy Cesternino.
Okay. And there you go. And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week.